Okay, we are looking at the beginning of the topic of Shemitas Ksafim. Figure that today we would just do a basic introduction to the two mitzvahs that are directly involved. One being Shemitah, to release the debts, and number two, the issue of Lo Yigos, not claiming the debts, and the little bit about the details of each of them. I don't want to go that far into the practical until we get Josh back for next week. And then we'll as well. We begin with two separate mitzvos. If you see on your sheet, source Aleph. V'zeh dvar shmitah, shemot kobam mashe yadav asher yasheh b're'ehu, lo yigos esve'ehu v'ezachiv ki kara shmitah l'ashem. This is dvar ha-shmitah, which for the moment will translate as the matter of shmitah, although it will have to be modified. Shemot, to release, right? To release the claim that one has upon somebody else. Mashe asher yasheh, or as you've familiar with the other pasuk of Lo Cielo Kinoshe, when someone borrows, it means someone who has a claim on somebody else. So you have to release the claim that you have on somebody else. That's one mitzvah. And then second, Lo Yigos Esrayeu Bezachiv, not to oppress, like the word Noges, to not to oppress Ki Karash Shmita Lashem, because it's been declared as Shemitah. So the Rambam identifies these as, indeed, two different mitzvahs. I brought it for you in Sources Beis and Gimel. The mitzvahs I say, mitzvah kufim aleph, hishetzivanu l'hashmit ksachim. The mitzvah of releasing money, klomar, hachovos kulam, meaning all debts, bishnas hashmitah. Lu amro yis'ala, he quotes the pasuk, v'asher yelecha ezachicha tashmit yadecha, which was not from our pasuk directly, interestingly. He doesn't bring the word shamot, but he brings from later in the same parsha, the same section there in Parshas Re'eh, that which you have of your brother you shall release. Ukvar nichpal hatzivoy b'mitzvah zu, and it is repeated, v'omar v'zed var shmitah shamot kol ba'am mashay yado. There you go. Even though the repeated one is actually the first one. Ulushona tosefta b'shtei shmitos hakasim medaber. This we're familiar with. We've seen this tosefta already this year, that the Torah is talking about two shmitas, achas shmitas karka, v'achas shmitas ksafim, one of land, one of money, and in fact, the achas shmitas karka, you're familiar with the writing, because we've seen it, is understood to be the yovel shmita of land. U'mitzvah zu shel shmitas ksafim eina noheges min ha-Torah, ele bezman shmitas karka noheges, v'achas noheges bechol makom. And that we know, this is that shmita of money is only relevant when you have shmitas karka. However, he says, Shemitah of money, unlike Shemitah of karka, will apply everywhere, not only in the land of Israel. Ugvaris baro mishpate mitzvah zu, mosach shvias, parak achron, look in the last parak and shvias for that. So that's the mitzvah of actively releasing the debts. What it means to actively release a debt is something we're going to hopefully get to soon. Source Gimel gives you the losase. V'amitzvah haresh lamed, prohibition number 230. He says he runs shalolit vora hamasos bishnas ha shmita, aval yishamtu kulam yachtov. The mitzvah 230 is that you should not claim these things. Actually, I wonder if it's mashos, like bal mashay yado. Probably is not to claim these debts in the shmita year. They should all be released. Vuhu amro yisbarach shamot kol bal mashay yado lo yigos esrayo besachiv. Release it, don't claim it. V'ze ein chayavim bo min ha-Torah ela be'eretz Yisrael be'ish shati Hashem shmitas karka rotel lomar ha-yovel. He says this is in fact specifically in Israel when there is shmitas karka, meaning yovel, as we've discussed. Avo midrabanan yischayiv kein b'choma kum kol zman. But midrabanan, this also applies everywhere, and it applies regardless of whether you have shmita of land or not. Ve'eno muter ligos hamashaos sha'av raleim hashviyas. You're not allowed to oppress and claim those debts. Avo yishamtu, they should be released. And he says again, look at the end of Masech Hashviyas. So there are some nuances there that we're not going to follow up on. At least not this week. Some of it may become relevant as we go forward. But those are your two basic mitzvos. Release, don't claim. The Sefer HaChinuch presents his usual Misharshei HaMitzvah, benefits of the mitzvah for each of these independently. And take a look at what he writes. In Mitzvah Tafayin Zayin, he writes, Kvar kasavti v'kesef talveh, right? Parshas Mishpatim, the mitzvah Shvi'is, Aseh Revi'is, Simen Samachtes, which in our editions is mitzvah Pei Dalet, Mashi Yadati B'Shorash HaMitzvah. He says, I already discussed back in the mitzvah Shmita of land, that which I know of the root of the mitzvah, U'Shmita's K'safim Gan Kein, Achar Osvatam Nimshach, and the same principles will apply when it comes to Shmita of money, which is to say, V'Lamed Nafshena B'Midos HaMa'ulos, Midas HaNedivos V'Ayin Tov. He says, it teaches us good, proper attributes. It teaches us to be generous, have a good eye. It establishes in our hearts trust in Hashem. At which point we will be ready to receive good from Hashem. So not only do we become better people, but look at that. We will be able to receive bracha from Hashem as well. It establishes generosity. It establishes the emunah that enables generosity, and it will make us ready to connect to Hashem. V'gam nimtza mizeh geder chazak u'machitza shel barzel hisrachek miod min hagezel u'min hachemda b'chol asher l'rayenu. This will also strengthen the barrier against theft and wanting that which others have. Kinisa kavachomer benafshenu, because we'll make a kavachomer for ourselves. Lemor saying the following: Afilu helvisiv mamoni v'higiyesh nas hashmita amra tara lahashmit biyado hamilva. Says, look, even if I lent him my money and Shemitah came, the Torah says I should let it go, let him keep my stuff. So certainly I shouldn't take that which is his. If I have to give him from that which is mine, I'm certainly not going to take that which is his. You could hypothetically see a different philosophy of what's mine is yours and what's yours is mine. Right, which Pirkei Avos blasts the a person could say, well, look, it's all Hefker, he's got my stuff. Nonetheless, if you take a look at source Hay, you find what he says regarding La Yigos, Mishosha Mitzvah Lachazik Vilikba Bilavavenu Midas Hanedivus, once again, to give us generosity, Vilharchik Tachlis Haharchaka Midas Hakilus, and to distance us from the trait of being somebody who is stingy. Ve'in nediv ba'olam kimalva ma'osav. There is no one who is as generous as somebody who lends his money im heyoso yodeya shazman karev lahashmit halva azo lahafsidam imenu, knowing that the time is coming when he's actually lose all of that. Im ula yera ba'ones, if something were to happen such that the guy couldn't pay on time, oshu mikrish lo yuchalit ba'halva azo, or something were to happen to the lenders that he couldn't claim it, kodim shnas hashmita. Anybody who has any grasp whatsoever of the way Torah works, he will know, whoever knows anything at all about Torah will know, that a person who scatters his money to those who need it will end up having it increased. He will gain more. V'chosech miyosher, and someone who keeps it back from using it properly, achla machsor, is only going to lose. Ki Hashem yodinas ha'adam l'fi ma'asav, God judges a person according to his deeds, v'yan yikeyem v'birchasav k'fiyas karo eleha, he will give a person from his bracha, Hashem will give from his bracha, based on how a person draws close to it, meaning it being, I think, proper conduct or the bracha. Umidas hakilus mechitza shel barzel beino uvein habracha, and the trait of being stingy, that is actually an iron wall between himself and bracha. V'anedivus chelak michelkei habracha, whereas generosity is part of bracha. V'nimtzam isnaheg boshu b'selcha yishma chacham v'yosef lekach. So someone who conducts himself with that trait will gain. He will have blessing. He, good. Okay. So writes the Sefer HaChinuch.
Yeah. Fantastic. It's interesting they say that, like, who spreads his money around to those who need, because it's almost talking about a notion of staka.
It is, like, absolutely talking about a notion.
It is, right? So, but over here, though, you're saying presumably that it's someone who's just lending money. So at first, their intention was not that they're giving staka. They're gonna die with these bullets.
Right. So I think it's a good point, but I think it's really important to understand that, as a general rule, many applications, lending in the Torah system is staka. And the evidence of it is the lack of ribis, right? Because what do we call that in economics when you lend money and you're not charging interest? It's called suicide. Your absolute best case scenario is that you are paid back on time and you lose only inflation and opportunity cost. You will never be back where you started from. lending without interest is stuck. That's why it's capped and said, this is for your family. Because if you were to do this worldwide, you would starve. But that's the, yes, that's the principle fundamentally, is that all lending that you are doing within the Torah context is fundamentally a way to help somebody else. Okay. Which is why we have all the rules about Shlotino Delas Bifnei Lofin, right? Because we don't want to block people from doing tzedakah, and we recognize that he's already behind the eight ball. Like, don't make it harder to get somebody to lend money. Okay, so let's get a better understanding of these mitzvahs that we're talking about. What is the mitzvah of being mishamet, first of all? What is the mitzvah of releasing the debt? And the key question you have to start with is the question of whether this is an active mitzvah. Is this something that I actually have to do? Then we'll get to the question of timing and when it happens, but you know, when during the Shemitah year. But that's the first fundamental question, is this an active mitzvah? So the Mishnah in Shemitah would seem to resolve it. If you take a look at source above, Hamachzir Chov Bishvias, the person refunds a debt during Shemitah, Yomar Lo, the creditor, should say to him, Mishamet Ani, I release it. Omar lo, afa pichein, if the borrower said, I understand, but I still want to pay, you can't leave menu, so take it from it. You don't need that much convincing. Shneor, as the pasuk says, v'zeh divar hashmita, this is the divar hashmita, and the emphasis is on the word divar, to say, you have to actually say something. You make a statement of mishamet ani. And once you've done it, you've fulfilled your mitzvah. And then the Mishnah continues to say, Kayotze bo, similarly, Rotzeach shagala le'ir miklat, when an accidental murderer goes to the city of refuge, V'ratzu anshei ha'ir l'chavdo, and the people in the city want to make a dinner in his honor, say, Yomar lohem, Rotzeach ani, he has to say to them, I'm a murderer, you can't do that. Remember, there are other non-murderers living in the city. They have other honorees, potentially. There are Levim that live in the city. So, Amrulo, afa pichein. But if they say to him, we know, nonetheless, we would like to honor you. Yekabel mayhem. So he accepts it. Shenemar, and again, the same idea. Vizit divar harotzeach. The word divar, like divor, this is what he has to say. He has to say, hello, rotzeach. And then after that, they can say, afa pichein. So that's the Mishnah says, and it would seem to indicate that there's actually something you do, as opposed to simply not claiming it. Nonetheless, there are...
Saying is considered doing here?
Yes. That would be your action. There's nothing else to do, per se. However, there are different ways that this is taken, two different approaches, with one quirky approach that'll fit within one of them. The first approach is the loan is forgiven automatically. Right? Remember we had this discussion about Shemitah of Karka, of land, whether it's Afkata de Malka, or whether you actually have to do something, does the land become shamut automatically? Practical application. I didn't declare my field ownerless. Some guy comes into my field and takes produce. Is he guilty of theft? Or do we say, no, God made it hefker? So one view is it's forgiven automatically. However, the lender fulfills his mitzvah by not claiming the debt. Along the lines of sort of an assay version of lo yigos. Right? Lo yigos is don't oppress him by claiming it. And now it's an assay of don't claim it. It's sort of a Shabbaton type of a thing. Create an atmosphere of Shabbos by not doing malacha. That's one way to look at it. And that is, it seems, the Rambam's view. If you take a look at the Rambam in source Zayin, we're going to see two examples of this in the Rambam. The first example is in source Zayin, Hal Shmita V'Yovel Hes Dalid. Ein Shvias Mishametas Ksafim Ela Bisofa. Shmita only nullifies the debt at the end. We're going to have to talk about that. Shneamar Miketz Shevashanim Taseh Shmita, because it says at the end of 7 years, that's when you do your Shemitah, v'zeh devar Shemitah, and this is the matter of Shemitah, and so on. V'sham hu omer, b'kates sheva shanim, b'moeich nas ha-Shemitah, b'chag Sukkos, right when it talks about the mitzvah of Hakel, at the end of 7 years, at Sukkos. Ma sham achar sheva, so just like that, b'kates sheva shanim is after the 7 years are complete, achar shmatas ksafim achar sheva, so too, Shemitah of money is after 7. L'fichach, Hilva es chavero b'shvi es atzma. Therefore, if somebody lent to somebody else during the Shemitah year, go vechovo kol hashana, that's fine, he can collect all year long. Ukshe tishka chama v'lele Rosh Hashanah shamatzoi shviyas avarachel. But when the sun sets on Rosh Hashanah night of entering year 8, the debt is gone. And that's what I wanted to get to, is that line, where he says, once the sun sets, the debt is gone. You didn't do anything. There's no act of hashmata going on. The sun sets, and the debt is void. You follow? So, Mayor, you're looking a little bit...
That's... The last line is when you gave the loan during Shemitah exclusively.
I don't see any reason to think so. But I think the illustration of the loan during Shemitah was just to say that the...
That you can be go over the Chovah Kol HaShana.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be an interesting idea in light of something we're going to say, but yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The another piece from the Rambam that provides evidence that this occurs naturally, and not just to a debt extended during Shemitah, but in general, is source Ches. The Chachamim are happy if somebody returns a debt that has really technically expired due to Shemitah. Another way to take Ruach Chacham no Chachimenu is that the spirit of the Chachamim wafts from him, meaning he's acting as a Chacham. Both explanations can be used. V'tzarecha malva lomer l'machzir mashmit, although the normal one is the first one that people say. But v'tzarecha malva lomer l'machzir mashmit ani. Or in some editions you'll see it without the yud as mashmit ani. Ukvar niftarta mimeni. The creditor has to say, I release it. You're already done with me. I have no further hold on you. If the borrower says, nonetheless, I would like you to accept the payment, you should accept it from Shnemar Lo Yigos, right? That's the prohibition line. Vahare Lo Nogas? You didn't. Valyomar Lo Bichovi Ani No Selach. But the borrower who wants to pay back should not say, I'm giving it to you as my debt. Rather, he should say, it's mine, and I'm giving it to you as a present. So, from the fact that that he says, kvar niftarta mimeni, you were already done with me, you were already exempt, that says that it happened on its own. Not, I was poter you, but it happened. That's the indication that the Rambam takes the view that in fact it happens automatically. If you want more Rishonim who take this view, there are various references to the Rashba, the Ma'arit, the Ma'arik. I can give them to you if you want. But I felt the Rambam pretty much said it here. The Menchas Chinuch in Taf Ayin Zayin says this explicitly as well. He says that in the event that the lender would actually claim the debt, that would be called theft. In other words, even though he wasn't Mishamet, he's claiming it, the money already belongs to the other guy.
Right.
So that makes it actually fairly clear.
Is that the majority view in the Rishonim?
That is the majority view, as we'll see. The support for this view is at least from two things. Number one, if I take the view, as I think we did, that the land is Afkata Demalka, right? The land becomes Hefker on its own, like we talked about months ago. So this could be parallel. Right? Land becomes Hefker on its own, the money becomes Hefker on its own. But Rabbi Yisrael may allow in Yachel Yisrael, Simen Kuf Hei, sees a proof in a very important story in Gittin Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. We're going to come back to this story again later, but we begin here. It's source test. If someone tries to return a debt during Shemitah, so the creditor has to say, I release it, right? We've already seen that idea. And if the borrower says, nonetheless, I would like to pay it back, so yikavale menu, then he should accept it. Shnemar v'zed dvar ha-shmitah, right? Because that's what the pasuk says, that's the dvar that we've already seen. Omar Rabba v'tali lei ad da omar hachi. And Rabba says, literally, you could take v'tali lei as we wait for him until he says afal pichein. However, take a look at Rashi. I brought it further down in Soros Tesvav. I should have brought it right there, really. Rashi of v'tali lei im haya rotze lachzor bo yislenu al eitz im gavra yado ad da amar lei afal pichein. If the creditor would like to be able to get the money back, right? What he can do, if he has the power, is he can actually tully lay, not in the sense of wait for him, but hang him from a tree. And wait for him to say, you know, I'd still like to pay you back. That's the way that Rashi explains it. Rava is saying, yeah, we're going to come back to that. Esve Abaye. So Abaye says, I don't understand. we learned, Kishu no sein lo, al yomar lo bechovi ani no sein lach. When the guy pays back, he doesn't say, I'm giving it to you as payment of my debt. Ela yomar lo shali hein umatana ani no sein lach. He says, it's mine. However, I'm giving it to you as a present. So that is inconsistent with the whole afa pi chein that you had. And the talilei, until he says afa pi chein. So no, amar lei, talilei nami, and amar hachi. That's our point. That's what we're saying. Is that you wait until he says this, that I'm giving it to you as a gift. So I'm going to pause the story there on this Gemara. Because that's what Yechel Yisrael is picking up on. When he says, b'matana ani no selach, I'm giving it to you as a gift. That's a source for the Rambam's belief that even though the creditor did not declare Shemitah, nonetheless it's void, and that's why it's being done as a gift. So that's our point. That's our point here. What are you going to do then with the language in the Mishnah in Shavuos that said that Devar HaShemitah requires that I say something? What happened to that? So if you take a look at the Rambam's Perish to it in Source Yud, he has a very terse line. He says, Halamedus hi mimilas davar. He says, this is learned from the word davar. Klomar, misha diber bedavar ze dayo. Meaning, once you speak of this, that is already sufficient. And then he has like four words afterwards. I forget exactly what they are. I should have brought it. Where he just says, yeah, and this is clear. But what I think the Rambam is saying here is that you need to make a verbal refusal if he offers it, and then you can accept the payment. But he's not saying that you have to make a verbal statement initially of it is void. There's no... Because of the actual case that the Gemara brings, right? Or the Mishnah even brought, where he offered it back. But there's no statement before that. That's the idea. It is also seen in the Mordechai, and this is what I mentioned when I said there's also a strange view. So take a look at the Mordechai in Gittin in Source Yud Aleph. Shal Rabbeinu Chizkiya L'Rabbeinu Avigdor HaKohen. Rabbeinu Chizkiya asked Rabbeinu Avigdor HaKohen, who I believe was one of the Balei HaTosfos. He asks him a question regarding how this works with Shemitah Ksafim. I didn't bring you the whole quote. V'zuhi Shiv. And this is the response we got from Rabbeinu Avigdor. L'inyin Hashmatas Ksafim Kibalti Sheshvius Meshametes Mei Eleha. He says, the Kabbalah I have is that Shemitah, in fact, is going to cancel a debt on its own. Afa Bishalo Amar Meshametani. He didn't have to say anything. Ella Mitzvah Hu Deramya Ale. He has a mitzvah of... I added in the word ba'amira. Dichsiv zed v'ashmita. Umi kol makom im balahasim etzoy shviyis kiloshon hamachzir chov b'shviyis yomer lo meshamed ani v'chule. If he wants to return it, like the Mishnah said, right? Like we've seen, he can say meshamed ani. Avol im lo balahasim etzoy shviyis. But if the fellow does not want to return it in etzoy shviyis kiloshon hamachzir chov b'shviyis. Somebody who returns a debt in Shemitah. I'm just trying to find my computer, just did something strange and I don't know why. That's better. Okay. Kloshon Hamachzir Chov B'Shviyas Eino Tzara Klum Dishamud V'Omeidhu. The language was one who returns it, implying you don't have to. Right? And there is nothing that needs to be said. It's simply shamut ve'omid. Dumya diksani hasan b'seifa. And he gives you the parallel, like we said, the case of the rotzeach, rotzeach kolir miklad rotzu anshir lechavdo, etc. Mashma de lo ramiyale lo markein elam kein rotzu lechavdo k'de lemonam. Right? He doesn't have to say I'm a murderer unless they actually put him in this position. Hachinami de lo ramiyale elam kein balahachzir. So too. It's not upon him unless the borrower says, I want to go give it back. Aval adibur eino ma'akev hashmita. Zecher ledavar, and he says, I'll give you a way to remember this from a different discussion. It's a Gemara in various places, including beginning of Nedarim, Daf Yomi saw recently. Nola lo b'chor be'edro, if a person has a firstborn animal born into his herd, his flock, mitzvah lahakadisho, he has a mitzvah of sanctifying it. Aval pishak far kadosh me'ele mishas leda. The Bechor is Kadosh anyway. There's discussion about whether it's Chaz Leda or whether it's even earlier, but the Bechor is Kedusha anyway. Nonetheless, there's a mitzvah of dedicating the Bechor. So he is saying, like the Rambam, The only thing that's quirky in what he's saying is that there is a chiyuv to say mishamet ani if somebody comes to you. It's a very interesting, you know, way to frame the mitzvah. I have no mitzvah of saying a word. But if the guy comes to you, then your mitzvah of Dvar Shemitah is to say mishamet ani. And that's when you fulfill your mitzvah. It's almost as though, you know, the end of Shemitah is coming. I should lend somebody money and set up a script with him, making sure that he's going to come to me so I can fulfill my mitzvah of saying mishamet ani. The interesting side note, just... he gives you the example of Bechor, Reb Chaim Ozer in the Achiezer in Gimel Samach Zayin Aleph, says there is a difference between the Bechor's Kedusha that it has on its own and then you being the Kaddish it. Because the Kedusha of the Bechor on its own is as the Korban. And in the event that I fail to bring it, I treat it improperly, I've treated the Bechor improperly. But once I declare it Kodesh, then the Isser of Lo Yachil Devaro will apply as well. It's like making a Lashon Neder has now applied. So there is a change in that regard. Nonetheless, the point for our purposes is this is the first view. The loan is forgiven automatically and it doesn't matter what you do. At most, you have a mitzvah of saying Meshamed Ani if he offers it back. And by the way, if he offers it back, you can, you know, you have to say no, but then you could accept it if he insists, and you could even, as Rashi explained, Vitalile, force him to offer it back. They force him to insist. That's all the first view. The second view, which is a remarkably prominent minority view, is that in fact the lender has to forgive it. It's the mitzvah for the lender to forgive it, and it is not forgiven until he does so. And that's the view most associated with the Yerayim. That's usually what people quote on this score. It's the Yerayim Kuf Samach Dalid, and I brought it for you here on the sheet. Source Yud Beis. B'chok Sha'avar al Shmiyus Eino Rashay Lova Lagvo Ela Al Pi Malve. He says if a debt survives Shemitah, or you know, whatever, Shemitah ends and the debt's still in place, the borrower is not allowed to keep it with him until the creditor says so. Shekozman shelo hishmito malve chayav lefroa. As long as the lender has not declared it to be void, the borrower is going to be obligated to pay it back. This is a strong read. The Ela Love Yasmin Malvaladin Sheyashmit Lo Chovo Kasher Tziva Hayotzer. The borrower has to summon the lender to Beis Din for him to do Hashmata. Ubeizin Yechaivu Lamalva Lo Mar Hashmitani, and the court is going to obligate the creditor to, in fact, say what he's supposed to say. Kasher Tziva Chachamim Kidis Namim Besoshvius. Umaisin Lavashalayat, as the Mishnah in Shvius and the Gemara in Kitten, which we have already seen, says that indeed you offer back, and he says it is void. That's the position taken by the Arayim.
The Beis Din is only when he's refusing to do it, seemingly.
Yeah.
Okay.
If he's going to do it on his own, why put this on the docket in Beis Din?
Right.
Yeah. There's support for this scene in comments to that Mishnah in Shavis on Meshamet Ani, the Rashi Mishans, as well as the Bartanura. I brought you only one, I brought you the Rashi Mishans. When he writes on that story in which the creditor, the borrower says, I want to pay back, and the creditor refuses, so look at what he says in Source Yigimel. Amar lo hamalva Meshamet Ani, Amar lo halova afal pichen ani rotzi lefroa yikavel, right, as we know. Va'amar v'hasholeach, and the Gemara in Gittin, which we already saw, Lamed Zayin Amed Beis, says the Talilei ad the Omer Hachi. However, you explain the Talilei. Adam Rachi Yerushalmi. The Omer Lo Meshamet Ani B'Safa Rafa. I believe he's quoting Yerushalmi with this next piece. I didn't actually look it up. I should have. The Omer Lo Meshamet Ani B'Safa Rafa. He says, you know what you do when you're Talilei. Talilei doesn't mean as Rashi explains it. That Meshamet Ani. You say Meshamet Ani while you hold him up against a tree. But rather, Talilei means you wait for him. And you say it in B'Safa Rafa in a soft voice, V'hayamin pshuta lekabel, with your right hand out to accept repayment of the debt. That's the way you're actually going to do it. And that's what the Bartanura has, and that's the Rashmi Shatz. I'm just taking a fast look in the Yerushalmi to see if that full piece, the B'Safa Rafa, the Yamin pshuta, yeah, it's explicit in the Yerushalmi, Yud Gimel. The Rav Huna Amar B'Safa Rafa V'Mim Pshuta Lekabel, as I state, so it's the Rishami. Okay, So, okay. So the Tosas Yom Tov, commenting on it, says, what are you talking about? Udvar Temo in Source Yudalad. Din Yakaba Bethe Ra'on Im Kein Eino Mishamet. He says, if you're accepting it as payment of the debt, then you did not make it Shamut. Umay Mahani Sha'amar Mishamedani Ve'eino Osakein. When you say Mishamedani, but you're not doing it, so what good did it do to say Mishamedani? Ube Gemara Braisa Kshu No Sein Lo Al Yomar Lo Bachoviani No Sein Loch Ela Yomar Lo Kein B'matana Ani No Sein Loch. Right? We say specifically that you're supposed to say to him, I'm doing it as a gift, not I'm doing it as payment of the debt. The Tosas Yom Tov is horrified by this whole Talile routine. But the answer will be, it fits very well with the Urayim. Right?
Yeah.
No, but not just the Talile fits, but the approach of saying that it's not... the approach of saying that it is payment of the debt and it's not simply a gift. Right? That's the point. It sure indicates that this is something that you are able to do. And in fact, I think it was the Mishnah Halachos I saw who said that the Tosfos Rid in Tzigitin Lamitayin Amid Beis does that as well. He says saying Meshamed Ani is fulfillment of the mitzvah. So we see it there as well. And the Mishnah Halachos also quotes you a Medrash in the Psikta, although I had a hard time with this idea that this is actually the correct read of what the Psikta was doing. The Psikta says that what you say is, Machzirin anu lach meritzoneinu. We are giving it back to you of our free will. So he says, machzirin. That suggests that it really is payment of the debt. The reason why I have difficulty with this is because the Rambam, who is the king of saying that it happens automatically, used the word machzirin above in Tes Chaches. He did it too. So therefore, I'm not so sure I'd read into the word machzirin. Right? It was back in Teschav Ches, so that was Source Ches. Kol Hamachzir Chov Shavar Lo Shvius. So I wouldn't read too much into that. But now we need to go back to the Gemara in Gittin and read the rest of the story in Source Ches. We need to get the full picture here of what's going on, because this will give us support for the Urayim. First of all, support for the Urayim comes from the simple read of the Mishnah in Shvius. Right? When it says, Zed Dvar Shmita Shamot, and you have to speak and say, Meshamet Ani, because it says Dvar, that's the simple read of that Mishnah. But further, look at the rest of the story in Gittin, Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. We've already seen that the guy wants to pay back, and we said, Seach Pichin and Talilei, and now we've seen two explanations of Talilei. We've seen Rashi's version of it, which is that you hang him on a tree, and the Rishami's version of it, that you're patient and you wait, for the gift. But now look what happens next. Esve Abaye. I'm sorry, we said the Esve Abaye. Abba Bar Marta. Dehu Abba Bar Manumi. Hava Masik Be Rabba Zuzi. So Abba Bar Marta / Abba Bar Manumi owed Rabba money. Okay, when it says Masik Be Rabba Zuzi, that can be tricky as to who owns whose, who owes to whom, but you'll see it in the Gemara, it's very clear. He owes Rabba money. Aisinu Niyale Bishvias. So he brings it to Rabba in Shemitah. Arale Mishamedani. Rabba says, I forgive it. He says, great, I'm going home. No discussion, interestingly, about during Shemitah, after Shemitah, as far as this is concerned. Just note that. But he says, okay, great. Asa Abaye, so Abaye, Talmud of Rabba, comes along. Ashkeche, and I added again, all the words in brackets I added. Ashkeche de Hava Atziv, he sees Rabba's upset. Amrle, am I Atziv Mar? He says, what's wrong? Amrle, Hachi Avamaisa, so he tells him the story. So he goes to Abba Bar Marta. Amarle says to him, Amtis le Zuzi Lamar, did you bring money to Rebbe? He's getting into the conversation slowly. Amarle, in yes. Amarle, you my Omar Lach. And what did he tell you? I sort of wonder if he's holding a stick, And what did he tell you? It was a leg breaker. Amarle, Meshamedani. He said, he told me he forgave the debt. Amarle, the Amarle Afa Bichain. He says, tell me, did you say to him, even still, I'd like to pay? Amarle, low. No. He says, had you said that to him, he would have taken it from you. So what I want you to do is go back to Rabbah, give him the money, right, and say, I still want to pay. He does it. He doesn't defy Abaye. Abba Marta brings it to him. He says to him, even still, I want to pay you. And Cheklinumine thanked him very much. He took it. Omar, and Rabbah says, Lohama beidaita bait suba merabanan meikara. He says, what's wrong with this fellow? Why didn't he know that from the beginning? Suba merabanan is an expression for a young Talmud Chacham. He doesn't know that that's exactly what you're supposed to do, that that's what the script is. He should have done that from the start. So that's our story. So Rav Menashe Klein, in his Mishnah Halachos, I brought you a small piece of it, in Soras Tezayin, says, I don't understand this story. Right? You see what you have in Tezayin. He says, "V'yesh l'smala harbe b'ha ovda." He says, there are many reasons why you should be shocked regarding this story. Number one, he says, "Amaya isinu niyalei Abba b'martha mitchila." Why did Abba b'martha bring him the money in the first place? Kevin shekvar avra shmita. If you take the view of the Rambam, that it happened automatically, right? So why did he pay him? Right, Shmita mafkas halva midin afkata demalka, and Shmita will void the loan on its own. Vimkin miyad shana sehefka mafkata demalka lamali lahavio the rabba klal. So, what's he paying back rabba in the first place? Yeah.
Interesting to note in the Gemara though, it says even doing the hal vishvi.
Right. So again, that's what I said to you. That requires some discussion. Beis amai have a rabba unsafe. Second, why was rabba upset? Verihu mitzvah kachol mitzvah satara, right? V'haya lo lismach shebali yado lekayim mitzvah amona mitzvah shmitas ksavim yesh lismach v'mitzvah shekiyim lo lios atzev. Why is he upset? Ubetarik siv tachas shalavata zeshem alakecha besimcha v'tuv leivav, right? Uchsev yishar melacha pen yelacha pen yedavam levcha b'li yahal lemor karvash nasa shevash nasa shmita, right? Don't be upset and say, I'm not going to lend people money. V'atarik pidah mitzvah zu v'karo b'li yahal. The Torah calls somebody b'li yahal. B'li yahal means worthless. There is nothing ascendant about him. B'li al. Or alternatively, b'li ol, it is sometimes rendered, without a yoke. It's a term we use like avodah zarah, right? Right? You're giving all these instructions about how you should make sure to lend. Hashem promises you'll get reward in this world for doing this mitzvah. Ayin Rambam, and so on and so on and so on. He's like, I don't understand. And he continues, like I told you, I only brought you a small piece. He said he wants to know, why did Abaye tell Abba Bamartha to insist on paying? Right? If it's really void, so he's done. And why does Rabbah criticize Abba Bamartha for not knowing to say Afa Pichain from the start? And further, why did Rabbah say Vitalina lay until he says Afa Pichain as explained by Rashi? Right? That you can use force on the fellow. Right? So the Mishnah Halachos' answer is this is supporting the view of the Yerayim. That in fact it is a debt until the creditor says it's not. That's the way to look at it. And within this view, the borrower indeed, has a mitzvah to offer to pay. And if he doesn't, he is violating that pasuk in Mishlei, lo verashav lo yishalem. You're a borrower who doesn't pay back. Now in practice, we follow the Rambam. We say that it is indeed void automatically. And how will I answer the Mishnah Halachos? Probably by saying that what we were talking about was nice behavior. What you should do. And we believe in nice behavior. The multiplanar halachic ethic. As Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein talks about it, the ethics beyond, the morality beyond the Torah. But that's indeed what you're obligated to do as a good person. But the loan is void, and Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, when Yachal Yisrael Kufhei makes that point, he notes that in Choshen Mishpat, in Samach Zayin Chav Ches, we say that if there are Yisomim Kitanim, right, if there are minors who are orphans, they do not need a prosbul for loans that are owed to them, because Beis Din acts on their behalf. So he says that means that other minors will need a prosbul, right? Why do they need a prosbul? Kitanim, minors, are not able to be mochel anyway. The loan shouldn't be void. But the answer is that it's automatic. And that's why the prosbul would be required. That's one way that we see that the Shulchan Aruch is clearly paskening like the Rambam, that it is automatic. There's an interesting application, though, of this point of the Yerayim in the case of the 10-year loan. Meaning, we know that the rule of Shemitah only applies, as we have said, to loans that are due before Shemitah. So let's say that 4 years ago, or 6 years ago, or whatever you want, sometime between the last Shemitah cycle and now, I extended to somebody a 10-year loan. Is it void when Shemitah comes along? It's only due after Shemitah. So I already blew the ending by saying no. Right? But the Gemara asks the question. Right? It's the Gemara in Makos. Source, Yud Zayin.
It's not going to make it into some sort of fraudulent thing where you're saying I'm going to give you a 10-year loan, but it's there's no potential for it to happen.
Well, it doesn't. The loan is due whenever you say it's due. Oh, you mean it would be fraudulent to create such a debt if that weren't really valid?
Right.
Unless you were playing under the principle. In other words, saying it's a 10-year loan doesn't only affect Shemitah. It also affects when I'm able to claim it.
Uh-huh.
You know, it has other ramifications. So, look at the Gemara in Zion. The Gemara is going to approach it twice. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Hamal bes chaver le'eser shanim, shviyas misham taso. You lend to somebody else for 10 years, then Shemitah will cancel the debt. Meaning the Shemitah that comes along during the 10 years. Granted that, right now, the loan isn't due. And therefore, you are not violating lo yigos by keeping the loan. And therefore, the loan should not be void. Nonetheless, so fasili de lo yigos. You will get to lo yigos eventually when the loan is due, and therefore it's voided by Shemitah. Masiv Rav Kahana, to which Rav Kahana challenges. He's quoting the Mishnah that they just had in Makos, dealing with the case in which witnesses come along to damage somebody's claim on somebody else. Omdim kama adam rotzalitin viyu elav zuz biyado bein liten mikan v'alamid yom bein liten mikan v'adeser shanim. You evaluate the difference when you have to figure out what they pay. You evaluate what somebody would pay to be able to have a 10-year debt for 1,000 zuz instead of a 30-day debt of 1,000 zuz. But he says, that's nonsense. V'yam ishviyas misham taso. If Shemitah would cancel a 10-year debt, there's no such thing. Right? And therefore, kulunami b'ay shalom ele. You should pay him the entire 1,000 zuz. A 10-year debt is great. So, Amar Rava, hachwa mayaskina, and Rava says, no. You know what that case would be? Exactly what I just said to Yisrael Meir. The Ma'aval Amashkon, Moser Shteros of the Basedin, right? We have to discuss what those mean in the context of principle, but the point is some kind of loan that will not be disqualified by the Shemitah year. Okay, that's the Gemara's first version of it. Then you get the Gemara's second version of it. Ika de Amri, Amar Yudam or Shmuel, Hamal Beschavir Lesser Shanim, Ein Shvias Misham Taso. Shemitah will not cancel the debt. The Ava Gam the Asili De Lo Yigos, it's the reverse of the previous one. Even though you will eventually come to Lo Yigos, Hashtami Lo Karina Be Lo Yigos. Right now, you will not be in violation of Lo Yigos, and therefore the loan survives. Amar Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana says, Afan Anami Tanena, we learn that too. Umden Kama Adam Rot Saliten Biyu Elev Zuz Biyado, Beilitim Mikan, etc. It's the same exact point, right? Except now it's a support. But the fact that you're able to evaluate based on what a 10-year debt would be, if you're telling me Shemitah will nullify it, then there's no. Then if you're telling me Shemitah would nullify it, then there's no such thing as a 10-year debt. Clearly, Shemitah does not nullify it. To which Rava said, no, we're talking about a loan that would survive Shemitah. So that's the Gemara in Makos. Two different views regarding the 10-year debt. So on this, the Rush says, Sois Yuches, Nira da halacha kalishna basra. The law follows the latter view that Shemitah will not nullify it. How do I know that? Depasha demasnisa messiah lishna basra. First of all, the simple read of the Mishnah about the 10-year loan supported it. Right? The simple, you didn't need to say it was talking about a prosbul case. Right? You just said, no, 10-year loans aren't nullified. Vitziyuvta de lishna kama, and that would knock out the opening view. Ela de Rava dachile is just that Rava came up with an answer for it by saying, well, it's Moser Shterosav or whatever. V'od, and further, he says, Deshvias bismanazed de rabbanan. Vaslina Makula. Second, he says, because Shemitah today is fundamentally rabbinic. Right?
Yeah.
And therefore, we're going to be lenient. That's the Rush's statement. Right? Did you see
lenient.
This Rush, David?
No, it's not the Gittin Rush. Okay. He talks about the difference between the Yadlug.
Right, that would get to also.
Right.
Sir?
Lenient in the sense we're going to go with Lishna Basra and the Gemara.
So it appears. Why do you ask?
Boy, I mean, would he change his mind when it's Minotaur?
Maybe. But I said, but what else should you be asking? Do I have a number by the Beis Yosef for your next source?
No.
I missed it on the sheets. Okay. Well, now it's your test. The adjust your sheets accordingly. The Beis Yosef asks a question. He says, what are you talking about? V'im Tomar, ha-besfeika de-mamona naktinan l'kula, matinan kula l'nidba. He says, if I have doubts in a financial dispute, and I don't know which way I should rule, you rule leniently on the side of the defendant. Right? Hamotzi mechaver al haraya. Right? Because otherwise, what's lenient for one is hurting the eye. You know, what are you doing? V'achavi ibcha kula toveya. Here, you're being lenient on behalf of the creditor and saying that his claim on the fellow is going to survive Shemitah. So what are you doing? V'nira li detamei mishun deshmita isurahu umekilin delo tinhog. Kevin derabbanan ubisman hazeh. He says, what we're really doing is not being lenient on the financial claim. We're being lenient on the iser of Shemitah, which is indeed the Rabban. Unehi denafka mina le'inyan mamona, granted that there is an application financially, v'abi chumra le'toveya, and that will end up being a chumra, in fact, right, for the, it's not for the toveya, it's for the nitva. It's a chumra, the result will be a chumra for the nitva. Right, we'd be makil by saying that Shemitah will not apply, correct. And therefore it's a chumra, it should be for the nitva, it's a mistake. I don't know why the Beis Yosef text says that, it should be for the nitva. Mikomakom kaven de biikra le dedina lo asi le mi boy imafkinan mamona me hai gavra ela le inyan isura inag shvias ola le kulanaktinan kanal. He says, still, since letter of the law, they're not, the question that's being asked of the Beis Din is not, will I take money from this person and give it to that person? The question that's being asked is, will Shemitah apply? And the answer, Lahakil, is Shemitah will not apply. And yes, therefore the loan will survive. And yes, therefore the Nitba is going to lose. But so it goes. That's the way that the Beis Yosef answers his question for the Rush. So his answer doesn't relate to our debate. His point is the main thing is the Yisr, right? Which happens to have financial repercussions. This is so fair. In Choshen Mishpat Tess is where this appears. The Ksav Sofer gives another answer, which also doesn't relate directly to our discussion. But he says, we usually go leniently for the defendant because we want to avoid turning the plaintiff into a thief. In other words, Yisrael Meir comes to Beis Din and says, I have a claim on so-and-so. Right? And the court isn't so sure about it. So if the court is going to give him the money, they could be turning him into a thief. They don't want to do that, therefore we'll leave the money where it is. Right? But here, who is holding the money of the other guy? It's the other way around. The defendant is already holding the plaintiff's money. Right? And everybody acknowledges that. Everybody admits that he's holding money that belonged to the plaintiff. So being lenient for him wouldn't help him. You follow?
That would be turning him into the robber.
It would be turning him into a thief. Exactly. We want to avoid creating thieves. That's the idea. That's his argument. I have arguments against that, but all right, that's his statement. But the Shara Mishpat in Samach Zayin Aleph, on this Siman in Shulchan Aruch, says the answer is take the view, bless you, of the Urayim. The Urayim says the obligation is for the Malveh to declare it ownerless. That's really what we're talking about, right? It doesn't happen automatically. And the kula then is to say, well, the obligation to do so is now the Rabbanan, and therefore we're going to be Mekil, and therefore it's not ownerless. That would explain the position of the Rush. So again, what we're saying is, this is just an outgrowth of our discussion about the Urayim and Co. versus the Rambam and Co. Right? So we had a question about the Rush. The Rush says that we're going to be Mekil to say that a 10-year loan is not going to be void. Right, during Shemitah, and the Beis Yosef asks the question, he says, we should be makil for the defendant. So the answer could be no. That what we're talking about is the obligation to declare it ownerless. And the obligation to declare it ownerless, you know, this view of the Urayim, that there is such a thing, if he doesn't declare it ownerless, it still exists. And therefore, we're being makil and saying, you don't have an obligation to declare it ownerless, and therefore the debt is here.
That's only going to work for the Urayim.
For the Urayim, correct. That's all the Sharei Mishpat says. You could explain it within the view of the Urayim. Yeah.
The Beis Yosef doesn't. You just said
so I didn't look at the Sharei Mishpat. I saw the Sharei Mishpat as quoted somewhere else. I didn't actually see the Sharei Mishpat inside to see what he says for the Rambam.
Because it would be weird to say that that's what the Beis Yosef is saying when he passes in the Shulchan
Aruch. Well, it's not what the Beis Yosef is saying. The question is it what the Gemara and Makos is saying?
Oh.
Or the Rush.
Yeah.
In terms of the other question that we had to ask, so all of this is within the question of, so do you have to do something active for Shemitah to nullify the debt? The other question is, when does Shemitah happen? Is this at the beginning of the year or is it the end? And that's a question both within the Urayim and the Rambam. Within the Rambam, the question is, when does it happen naturally? Within the Urayim, it's when is my obligation to do it? So on this, the point, everybody seems to be fairly well agreed with the Gemara at the end of Erchen Chaf Chesamet Beis, Source Chaf, Echad Yovel ve'Echad Shvi is Mishamtin Ke'echad. Both Shemitah and Yovel nullify as one, Rashi says, meaning on the same day. Elish, not that they occur on the same day, but it happens instantaneously. Elish Yovel b'tchilaso v'Shemitah b'sofa. But Yovel is in the beginning, and Shemitah happens at the end of the year. And that view is agreed upon by the Rambam and Shemitah v'Yovel Tes Dalet. We saw it already, right? Remember he said when the sun sets?
Yeah.
For that, the Rush in Gittin Dalet Chaf, which we're going to come to, says it. The Torah in the Shulchan Aruch Choshem Mishpat Samach Zayin Lamed, Shulchan Aruch Haravin, Choshem Mishpat HaChasava Lamed Vav, all of them. The challenge which we're going to need to discuss next week after, is that the Rishonim are familiar with a practice of not writing a prose bowl during the Shemitah year itself. You would write your prose bowl pre-Shemitah. And the question is, why would you do that if Shemitah only occurs at the end of the year? So that we have to talk about. Yes?
I don't understand this Rashi on Yud-Heh. Yovel, the Shvi, Shem, Ke'echad, happen at the same time, because Yovel's Tchila, Shemitah's at the end.
Yeah.
So that makes sense in terms of a year. Fine, Ke'echad, Shana. How does Rashi say B'yom-Echad?
Right, so what he's saying is that it happens instantly, that it's not a length of time.
It's just it's like, on that day.
Correct.
What's the source for that?
When the Gemara tells you something, it's coming from a pasuk. You mean where is the Gemara getting it from?
Yeah.
I would have said Miketz.
Oh.
Miketz Sheva Shanim, yeah. Right? Okay. I didn't bring you the whole sugya from Erchen, but yeah. So what about this mitzvah of Lo Yigos? This other mitzvah that we've been ignoring for the last, 52 minutes. So the simple explanation of Lo Yigos is not to demand payment. Right? That's a simple explanation. Don't demand payment. And when does that kick in? So, nothing's ever easy. The Sefer HaMitzvos we saw already above, right, worded Lo Yigos as during the Shemitah year. It began at the start of the year, meaning I already, at the beginning of the year, I'm not allowed to oppress him. The Rush in Gittin says also start of the year, and that's the source Chaf Aleph that I bring you here. He writes, and I already referred you to the Prozbul issue, V'hade in Kozin Prozbul B'Shvias, the fact that we don't write a Prozbul during the Shemitah year, Aval pi she'ena mishametas ela bisofa, even though the Shemitah, the Hashmata is only occurring at the end, Nira lefari shatam api amikraus mi keitz shevashanim taseh Shemitah v'zeh dvar Shemitah shemot kobal mashe yado. Right? The Pasuk says, do this at the end of the year, be mishamet. Mi pashte dekray alfinan de'en shvias mishametas ela bisofa. Right? We see that it happens at the end. Like I just said to Yisrael Meir. Kedich se mi keitz shevashanim taseh But from the beginning of the year, Beis Din will already not get involved in collecting any debts. You come to Beis Din and say, I have a claim on someone, they're going to say, see ya. And even the creditor himself shall not do any oppressing. That's backwards. Okay. Kikarash mita l'Hashem. Miyad shenichnasa shmita lo yigos. From the time when karash mita l'Hashem, the beginning of the year, you have a mitzvah of lo yigos, not to make the claim. Avalam yifra halava me'atzmo. But the difference will be, right, you tell me, then what good is it to say shmita happens at the end if I can't claim it from the beginning? The answer is, if the borrower comes himself during shmita, you don't have to say, ein tzarich lomar mishamet ani. You do not need to say, I forgive the debt. That's the difference, because you're not being no geis. And just like we will not help him collect the debt, just like we're not collecting the debt, on the other hand, we're also not writing him a prosbul once Shemitah begins, because it's too late. That's already being no geis. That's why I understand his equation. Okay, so that's the statement that the Rosh makes. So Ketzos HaHoshen says, I don't understand. Then why are any loans at all collected during Shemitah? I should have brought it here on the sheet. Oh, I did. I brought it in Chafkel, because I brought you the Ramah first. All right, so you know what? Rather than Rosh, no pun intended, I'm going to say we'll pick up with this at the beginning of next week's year, rather than Rosh. Okay? Shkar.